This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman and you'll get a $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest, Dr. Josh Middledorf, he's author of a new book, Cracking the Aging Code, and he's also the originator of the website agingadvice.org, and they have, it's a great website, they've got tangible suggestions on how you can extend your longevity. And so in part two, let's talk about some important strategies. Now, you enumerate seven themes in aging. You want to go into those, and maybe out of those, the outgrowth of that will be a discussion of some of the things we can do.
Let's go back for a moment and continue before we broke off. I mentioned vitamin D was probably the simplest thing you can do to improve your immune function. There are also several herbs that seem to be effective. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of reishi mushrooms,
okay,
which is an old oriental remedy and seems to really boost the immune system. I've heard people use it short term to ward off a cold. I've heard people use it long term to fight off the infections and to lower the risk of cancer. There's also Kalunji seeds, sometimes called Pranushka, just the black seed in rye bread. It's not caraway. It's the other black seed that you'll often find in rye breads.
That's a new one on me. I hadn't heard about that. Is that available as a supplement or is it in an herb shop?
I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen the Charnushka oil sold.
It's spelled Nivella. C-H-U-R? C-H-E-R?
Charnushka, Charnushka. The Latin name is Nigella sativa, Nigella.
And that's
Sativa.
That's not black cumin seed? No, that's
it. Is black cumin seed.
Oh, yeah. Bingo. Okay, thank
black
you.
Black cumin seed. All right.
I thought
there's yet another name for it.
Right, right. Okay, blacks. We do talk sometimes about black seed
so
oil.
You know about black cumin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Good.
Yeah, because
that is
on my radar screen. Okay, thank you.
That's great. Well, I don't know. It wouldn't be I'm always looking to learn something new.
Yeah, me too. So, any others that you're excited about?
Maybe it's time to go back to seven themes.
Yep, do it.
In aging. So the one we can probably do the most about is insulin sensitivity. The body loses insulin sensitivity with age, and this is part of evolution's program. Evolution wants to level the death rate, so that means if everybody's out there starving, then aging can take a vacation. But if everybody's fat and happy, that's when the death rate from aging is scheduled to be the highest. So this is why caloric restriction works. Insulin is the way the body is detecting whether you're getting a lot of food, have high fat storage, or whether you're starved, and probably those around you are also starved, and it's a good time to back off on the mortality rate from aging, because probably other mortality rates are kicking in. So what can we do to maintain insulin sensitivity, which declines as we get older? The drug metformin mm-hmm. has been used for many years for diabetics, and now it's being talked about. Well, maybe it's an anti-aging drug for everyone, and clinical trials are just beginning mm-hmm. this year to see if metformin has benefits for people who don't have diabetes.
I think some of that's being done at my alma mater. Dr. Barzilay is doing that up at Einstein in the Bronx.
He's the one. That's right.
Yep.
Yes. So keeping yourself skinny, getting lots of exercise, intermittent fasting are the ways to keep insulin sensitivity up without metformin. There's an herb called berberine mm-hmm. that is much less well known and less well tested, but seems to be just as good as metformin in the much smaller database that we have. And there are a handful of other supplements that also seem to have benefits, including the Chinese herb jiaogulan, which is sold by Life Extension Foundation as mm-hmm. I think they call it AMPK activator.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So another one of these themes is inflammation. We talked a little bit about inflammation. Inflammation rises and it strikes against the body rather than against invaders more and more as we get older. This is such an important theme. Of course, what we'd like to do is to get inflammation to be more selective and to keep working against the invaders, but to protect the body and not attack the body. And I think that's going to be a theme of anti-aging medicine in the future. For now, there are just dumb drugs and herbs that dial down the immune system, dial down the inflammation process.
You're thinking of the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs or the monoclonal antibodies or, you know.
I'm thinking of, yes, NSAIDs, and I'm thinking curcumin, which is an ingredient in turmeric, the spice, and fish oil seems mm-hmm. to have an anti-inflammatory effect. So most of your listeners already know about these things, but I'm a big fan of anti-inflammation. Mm-hmm. Telomeres seem to be a primary aging clock of the body. Just a little of the background for the few of your listeners who might be hearing this for the first time. That every time a cell divides, the tail on the end of the chromosomes. This is a tail of repetitive DNA, which isn't good for anything. It's just there to protect. I mean, it doesn't contain information. It's there as a protection. And it gets a little shorter with each cell division. And there's indication that people with shorter telomeres have shorter life expectancies. People with longer telomeres have longer life expectancies, even when they're the same age. Preserving your telomeres, I think, will be a primary theme for anti-aging medicine of the near future. There are a handful of products out there that have a modest effect mm-hmm. in elongating telomeres or preventing telomeres from shortening quite so fast, but they're not really effective enough to be a big factor at this point.
What are some of the lifestyle factors that can help preserve telomeres? Are there certain things like exercise or certain dietary habits that may
make it? Exercise helps with telomeres as it helps with so many other things involved with health, aging, mood, mental health, motivation, productivity. Exercise is really the number one tonic. there's an interesting study showing meditation has an effect on your innate telomerase expression, and it's been carried through to see that it actually has an effect on telomere length. And there are a handful of herbs that are modestly effective in preserving telomeres.
Practically speaking, can people get their telomeres measured? Is this something commercially available?
Just in the last couple of years, there are a few commercial outfits. It seems that it's the shortest telomeres that cause the problem. So go with a company that can measure the shortest telomeres and not just the average telomere length, which shouldn't be deceptive. Telomere measurement is a technology. It's about 15 years old now, but it's not that accurate still. It's good for group studies where you can take the average telomere length of 1,000 people and then you get a very meaningful number. But people say you can't learn that much from individual measurements. And in fact, if you get your telomere length measured this year and next year, you might find that there's so much scatter that you can't even tell whether the telomeres have lengthened or shortened during that time.
I think we're into about theme 4, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we probably won't get through all of them. So one of the themes that I'm most sanguine about for the next few years is called senolytics. As the telomeres shorten, or sometimes because a cell is damaged, it becomes a senescent cell. A senescent cell is not just a cell that's not functioning anymore. It actually sends out signals into the body that promote inflammation, that cause other cells nearby to also become senescent. These senescent cells are perhaps 0.01% of your body, one cell in 10,000, but gee, they do an awful lot of damage. And maybe 5 years ago, Jan van Dursen of the Mayo Clinic had the idea, well, what if we got rid of the senescent cells and genetically engineered a group of mice so that the senescent cells could be selectively poisoned. So he had to prepare them. You can't do this in you and me because they have this extra gene attaches to their senescent cells and makes them vulnerable to this particular poison, which will not affect other cells. And the results he found were so dramatic that it has caused a wave, and not only in the literature, but in the pharmaceutical industry as well. He found a 20 to 30% life extension just from a single treatment removing senescent cells rather late in the life of these mice. 20% was males and 30% was females, if I remember right. But this is an enormous benefit for a one-time treatment, which seems to have no side effects. So, of course, there are companies out there. There are at least half a dozen companies I know of that are working on drugs that will selectively kill senescent cells in people without harming, of course, you have to protect the innocent bystanders. We can't tolerate a toxic effect on other cells. But if the senescent cells can be selectively removed, there's promise of an enormous benefit to life extension. And I'm hopeful that this is coming along in the next few years, just because there are so many companies that have seen the promise and are working hard on it.
Sounds like a promising avenue, not yet news you can use, but something that may be coming down the pike.
There's, again, an an avenue of research, which I'm very enthusiastic about, began with heterochronic parabiosis.
Whoa.
Which means sewing two mice together, an old mouse and a young mouse, so that they share a common circulatory system. Parabiosis.
This is a little bit like the vampire cure, where they take old blood and put it into young blood and put it into an older individual. But this is goes beyond just a blood transfusion. It's a body transfusion.
So there have been experiments going back more than 100 years of looking at the effect of young blood in an old animal or an old human. And gruesome as it may seem, it actually shows quite a bit of promise. We can't tell for sure yet because there are... it does a great deal of damage to the old mouse to be tied so that the circulatory systems are joined and the two animals have to move as one. They're like Siamese twins. Hmm. And yet we see signs of rejuvenation, and we've seen signs that the young mouse is suffering premature aging just in the few months that we're able to keep them alive. So in the short term, people were experimenting, well, can we give infusions of the plasma, not the blood cells, just the plasma, which contain these signal molecules, give infusions of young blood into an older mouse or even an older human. There are people experimenting with human trials, sort of jumping the gun, because this is so promising. I guess a footnote here is that transfusions are already a clinically approved process. So you don't need separate FDA approval mm-hmm. for a transfusion. And it's meant that people have been able to go ahead and experiment with transfusions of young blood into older humans. And there are a few people doing this, most notably Saul Valeda's lab out at Stanford, working on transfusions as a possible treatment for Alzheimer's disease. In the long run, you can imagine that if this proves to be effective, we'll run out of young blood very quickly. Mm-hmm. There'll be a black market for trying to bring young people into the clinic to donate their blood. It's awful. But in the best scenario, this is going to lead to research that identifies, well, there's some rebalancing of the hormones in the young blood. What do we need less of? What do we need more of? Can we artificially add the hormones that the young people are offering, and can we block the hormones that we have too much of as we age? And we're already starting to get some ideas about what a few of those are, and perhaps these are treatments that will be available maybe in the medium term, in the 10 to 15 year time range. I'm expecting that these blood treatments will turn into a knowledge about how to use hormone rebalancing as a true rejuvenator.
Indeed. Any other avenues that we should be investigating?
I'd feel comfortable leaving it there for now and refer people to the Aging Advice site. Aging Advice website for more details, and to my blog, which is always introducing news and putting the news in context that, as you say, news you can use.
So that's our Intelligent Medicine Call to Action. Let's give out the information again. The book is Cracking the Aging Code. It goes into detail about some of these concepts. with specific recommendations, the new science of growing old and what it means for staying young. You can get it from the usual sources. And how do people follow you on your blog, and how do people find your website?
The blog is joshmitteldorf.scienceblog.com. So it's joshmitteldorf, joshmitteldorf.scienceblog.com. The easy one to remember is agingadvice.org, and there's a link to the blog right there. So if you forget how to spell my name, you can go to agingadvice.org, read the general advice that's there. It's not updated as often as the blog, of course, and go to the blog for details and news stories about particular remedies and theoretical developments as well.
What do you, just to give us an example, what are you working on for your next blog?
You know, I just came back from 3 months in China, and I thought, how can I leave without writing about traditional Chinese medicine? It's just a different take on medicine. They didn't have controlled studies. They didn't have the bottom-up view that we have, the analyzing molecules one at a time. But they have thousands of years of wisdom and experience. And darn it, some of these things actually work probably better in combination than singly, although we've tested them only singly. I believe that Chinese medicine is a fount of new things to try. And I'll be writing about a few of those in the blog coming up this week.
Oh, great. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We'll leave it at that. Dr. Josh Mitteldorf, the book is Cracking the Aging Code. And if you want to stay abreast of the latest anti-aging research, go to his website, which is agingadvice.org. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Well, thank you, and thanks for the information that you've provided to me and to your other readers and listeners, and for maintaining such a good resource for us all, and including me in your group.
Well, thank you so much. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.